Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Titans. Brought to you by Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse, featuring their new rooftop dining experience. And you can check out PK's work at PaulKuharsky.com. So, PK, a lot of people thought Sunday may have been it. A 26-0 loss to the Houston Texans. Shut out on the road at Houston. We've seen some decisions get made in this franchise before after a loss to Houston. So I did have one eye kind of looking around on Monday thinking, is Brian Callahan going to be shown the door today? He did not, and he has not been, and he will be coaching coming up on Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. So how much were you maybe expecting something to happen on the Monday following the loss to the Texans, and how close do you think we could be to a coaching move being made at this point, given lost 10 in a row, they're 0-4, and to me, and I think to most people, they look like they're getting worse.
Yeah, I mean, we're not seeing progress. 26-0 is not progress. You know, they like to talk about that it was 6-0 at the beginning of the fourth quarter. You know, from what I could see, you take the score at the end. And the nothing is big the week after you change play caller. No spark, no life, no plays. You know, this conservative attitude where you run on 3rd and 12. Hardigree says he regrets that. This thing where you run on 3rd and 10 before field goal attempt before the half. You know, why not try something there? You could conceivably get a first down and get a closer field goal, or, you know, conceivably go try to get a touchdown. They seem so willing to take
overrated.
A field goal. Touchdowns are overrated. This willingness to take field goals, and then your field goal kicker goes cold and misses two. Every team in the league has plays that are like, hey, this will get us 12 yards or be an incomplete pass. Hey, this is a long shot touchdown, deep touchdown throw, or it's an incompletion. Titans don't seem to have or want that. Well, it's low percentage, so we're not going to do it. You know, low percentage plays sometimes draw pass interference. Sometimes your guy goes up and makes a terrific catch. Try it. Default to aggressive. I asked Bo Hardigree yesterday. Why not default to go into a game preset to default to aggressive? He said, well, we don't want to stray from the game plan. Make the game plan default to aggressive. I don't think Callahan's going anywhere anytime soon. I just don't think that they see a terrific upside to doing that. And I do think, I could see things getting better for a short period of time if you went with Fossil or Wilson or McCoy. But ultimately, in talking to some people about the interim thing, and I do Superhorn, the guy Superhorn on Twitter, put out a very good study of the bump you do get from interim that was in favor of interim. But I think there's a feeling.
Who cares about the bump? It's not
right.
About that.
Yeah, it's not about that. I think
this team stinks.
Yes. And so how much better does it get?
So now we're screwing up the number one pick.
Well, I think they still want the consistency with Cam. I think they suspect that more doors closed and people become more closed off if the head coach is dumped. And they don't want that.
So you would guess that Brian Callahan gets the whole year.
I don't know about the whole year, but more for sure.
Like you're not looking at it like, well, we talked about in the summer. Like Vrabel comes in. I mean, we already saw what the Houston thing, which is often a touch point. 26-0, yep. Nothing happened.
So the more I think about that stuff, though, the more I think about what we talked about yesterday. Like if
zigging,
it's too obvious,
yeah.
That she's not going to do that.
Yeah,
like she.
I agree.
And I don't think she. And people have brought this up, and I think it's a fair point. I don't think she's going to give Vrabel the satisfaction of,
right.
Oh, they just kicked our butt, and I'm going to fire his replacement to that.
Gives him the very power that she didn't want to give him, which is why she fired
him. And he'd tweet some goofy stuff, like, you know, probably a picture of you or something to taunt her. You don't want that.
I just, It's very frustrating for everyone to already be talking draft and draft order and all. I don't know. Some of the draft people probably love it, but they're people who like the draft more than they like football.
It's true. Yeah, for sure. It's very depressing. Well, so
when are you having a draft guest on this week?
Yeah, we got an hour with Brugler Friday.
Fifth round. What are we looking like there, Dane? Yeah. Well, so I hear everything you're saying on that front. Here's where I'm approaching it from this week. Like, if I'm the Titans now, I'm starting to ask the question of not what is the benefit to firing him. What is the benefit to keeping him at this point? Because, like I said, they appear to be getting worse. I'm not in there day to day. I don't know the inner workings of the development of Cam Ward. But I do know you've taken his quarterback coach and you've now thrown more things on his plate as play caller. The guy who is your head coach, we're looking at, is supposed to be some quarterback guru. Cam Ward's numbers to begin the year are awful. And I know there are a lot of things you can point to with that. They dropped the ball. The offensive line's been bad. They're a bad team. So we all know that. But there's not really anything I'm looking at right now that says, yeah, that's a positive reason to keep the coach. And I wonder, like, if it continues on this way, how much damage is done by leaving things status quo the way that they are right now? That's where I'm at with this discussion.
It's a perfectly fair question. You know, I think there's a line of thinking that you want to maintain something for Cam here. Well, aren't you maintaining something for Cam if he's still with Hardegree, Holtz, you know, and all the same position coaches working?
Is Holtz allowed to talk
with
to him?
His guys? Yeah, Holtz is in fact allowed to talk to him.
Don't call plays. You know, still don't.
I don't know.
It's fine.
I see both sides of it. But there is a lot of patience and discipline necessary from this organization. And my suspicion is that they feel like by exhibiting it with the head coach, they're kind of setting that framework that they're going to be patient with things in general.
I hadn't thought about it that way. Okay. Yeah, it's, you know, obviously – we talked about this the other day, the whole idea of are you messing up the quarterback like with Brian Callahan? And, you know, I mean, I have my doubts about that. I mean, I feel like quarterback development is a lot – people do a lot of the same stuff, right? And then it's like can – I mean, even to your point on like their aggressiveness, like the 3rd-and-12 run, that was bad. But I actually would side a little bit with Callahan on like they have had some shot plays where you get sacked, right? Like there's plays where they probably would have liked to have done things where you get sacked. I mean, but the Cam thing is, you know, it is all about what's best for him. So one of the Callahan arguments to fire him is that, you know, things get so negative. Again, you've got awful announcing talking about you and Brian and your little snits or whatever is going on with you two. That at some point, you need to just end that, right? You've seen that, where it's just like, it's just toxic. Now, I know, like, maybe it's different with Wiz and Hunt because he was such a jerk and no one liked him, and this guy's very different. But don't you think that that's a factor in all this, too, beyond the Cam, you know, development thing?
Yes, and I will say, John Fossil yesterday was extraordinary in 15 minutes talking to the media. Teron and I were talking afterwards, and he was like, he said, if I was in this organization right now, I'd go sit with John Fossil. And I know you'd come out of that meeting feeling better about like your chances and what's going on here and all of that, which was a great point. John Fossil should set up office hours and be like a team psychologist.
Like you with your Belmont students.
Almost.
Life coach of sorts.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I hope to have a positive influence on them. I do.
Yes.
And the one thing is, I mean, and God bless him, he spoke beyond special teams. I asked him, how have you come in such short order and turned around a unit that was terrible? I know you don't like to talk about it.
But we played his whole answer.
Offense and defense haven't done it, and he was terrific on that. That sounds like a guy I'd like to lead my team. I mean, he's got more to say on that than Brian, and you would think he's got more, if you put him in charge, would have more of an effect on that than Brian. So, I mean, there's a case for Fossil, who has been an interim coach before in the league. You know, I haven't looked specifically at their results. And like you're saying, it's not really about the results. It's about
like this question of like, well, what's it going to help? Like, guys, we already know. We already know where this team's going. Yeah, they might win three games.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharsky with us here on the program talking all things Titans. PK, I mentioned Cam Ward's numbers. He's got a 51.2% completion percentage, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, 614 yards, 4-9 an attempt so far this year. And as you said, he's not very good on Sunday against the Texans. Now, there's all sorts of circumstances. It's 4 games into his rookie year. Titans do not have very good talent around him, so we know all these things. What's your concern level of what you've seen?
I'm concerned about that sidearm when he's – it's great when he uses it to throw around somebody, right? And he's very clever with it and effective with it. He can, if a guy's charging and he throws it around the guy's armpit when the guy's got his arm up, he's avoiding a batted ball and finding a way to get the ball to his receiver. That's terrific quality in a quarterback. But when he breaks free and he's on the run and has room, what is he doing getting off of his feet and throwing sidearm where the ball ends up behind Io Manor, where the best he can do is reach back and get his hands on it, and it turns into an interception? I mean, that's poor, poor technique and fundamental stuff. And the Titans have said as much there. He had a bad, bad footwork game. And look, I'm not my expectations are probably too high. But I think, like, when you get to a certain point with your stuff, this is like my stupid comparison. Simon has a tendency not to finish his damn swing, right? And so he's given up that much power because he stops swinging, and he's pretty fast, so he likes to start running.
Yeah.
I go, dude, you're giving up half of your power because you don't finish your swing. And when are we going to get past this? You're 15 heading into your sophomore year. Well, I mean, he's only 4 games into his career, but we talk about the footwork. It's been beaten into you. How are you, you know, I agree with Callahan, like, it's hard to call something a regression 4 games in. But, like, how do you go so far backwards with your footwork when it was pretty good against Indianapolis and it's pretty awful in Houston?
That's a good question. I mean, I think, obviously, quarterbacks get affected. How many quarterbacks, I think we saw it with Marcus, get affected eventually by ghosts or whatever, right? Maybe, it seems like maybe a little bit. He's not nailing the footwork and stuff because he's already like, yeah, here comes the pass. I don't know. I mean, I'm just speculating, but it seems like there are times when he rushes when he doesn't have to rush, and
I think that's the footwork.
That's when you get bad footwork.
They
right?
gotta put him on. I mean,
it's very easy for us to say, but
I mean, he's best when things get chaotic. Now,
when he can break the pocket, elude someone, and then he'll rip one, and you're like, dang.
So you've got to artificially create that without the trouble. I think you got to get him on the move, roll him out.
But in this league, man, you have got to a large percentage of your stuff has to be see it, rip it, go
from the
quick,
pocket.
quick progressions from the pocket.
Like, I agree.
If you can't have that as a steady diet, even Mahomes. Yeah, everybody talks about Mahomes and all the stuff he does, but if you watch Patrick Mahomes' game, most of the stuff's out fast.
I agree, but you can do some still relatively fast stuff with him on the move.
Yeah.
And I just want a more steady percentage of stuff with him on the move. They don't string together drives. And he talks about when they cross midfield, they sputter out every time. And so now when you cross midfield, start doing something different. I agree. Gradually you want him to be the pocket guy. But he's not as good out of the pocket right now. So do the things that he's doing well. And it doesn't need to be that three guys are chasing him to the sideline and he throws it back a 45-yard pass from the 9-yard line. I mean, you'll take that when you get it. But I think you got to get him somehow on the move.
Well, and as this thing goes here, as we talked about earlier in the show, they're so bad on offense. Does he get to the point where he feels like he's got to do way too much out there? And I think we're rapidly approaching that. That I worry about of, you know, they can't score points. Everybody knows they can't score points. So does he try to put everything on himself and end up creating more harm than good that way?
And, you know, Sly, who they can't wait to send on the field, Fossil said, not a problem. Made the same mistake on these two kicks. Doesn't think of it as four in a row. The one got blocked that would have been good. The other one was outrageously long. And these two in this game were same mistake, very correctable, taken care of. You know, I almost wish that he was having a problem that might make them reluctant to send him on the field.
Richard on the YouTube chat on Ward says, take Marcus, things he couldn't do in college never improved. While in Tennessee, you're starting to see the same thing as Ward. They're coaching Ward like he's Levis, just don't make boneheaded plays. They have to let that go. I would say, I guess kind of in the same idea, what you're talking about, like do the stuff that's good. Is that developing a quarterback if you say, well, he can't do the stuff that's really important, but he can do a few things, so let's lean in on the stuff that he can do and not like force him to get better at the things he has to get better at.
Can't you do both simultaneously?
I don't know.
60-minute game.
I can't. Can you? I can't develop a quarterback.
No, I'm saying can't you develop him on this stuff that he's not good at and give him some plays of the stuff that he's good at? It's the job to mix those two things together. But I don't think
synthesize.
I don't think you say we're going to beat our head against the wall and take three and outs with less reps for him because by God darn it, we're going to develop him.
Don't move, Cam. Do not move. Yeah. No, of course. I mean, yeah, look, ultimately, like, hey, all these people need to win a football game. So, whatever you can do to win a football game would be good.
Cam, this week, we're setting development aside.
You're going to be running around like crazy out there.
But, you know, when you, like, when
drop back 19 yards, loop to the left, circle, loop to the right. Let's try to hold the ball for 18 seconds.
We're not even going to have routes. They're going to stand there for a minute, and then they're just going to start a scramble drill.
When you feel like you've drifted too much, drift some more.
Our least fit receiver will pass out.
But, you know, but like in all seriousness, I mean, you know, I think you still have to – Like if you move – you talk about moving the quarterback. Well, whenever you do that now, like he's reading half the field, right? Now, look, there's plays like that, and that's fine. But if you're consistently taking half the field out of play, you're kind of limiting yourself, right? So, I mean, there's got to be
consistently.
A balance. I mean, agree. There's got to be a balance.
More often than they do. Well, and listen, we haven't talked about the one thing that, you know, everybody out there is hoping that we'll get to, the one thing that will clearly fix this offense, and you guys know what that is.
Restrepo?
He's sitting on the practice squad over there.
We've got some techs. I'm Restrepo. Let me promise you.
Unbelievable.
Sure we do.
People want him to replace Ridley. Yeah. Just man for man. Never mind, they don't play the same position.
Just get out there and run.
You know, that Ridley relies on speed and Restrepo has no speed. That just one for one. Give him Calvin snap.
Yeah. Real quick on the text line, we have people saying that we are the negative. 99% of our questions are negative. And when Vrabel's here, got people saying we're soft on them. Got somebody saying, why are you guys in love with Vrabel?
Are we negative or are we soft?
We got the whole thing. We got all of the, and I got someone just screaming, will not let it go. Like, please ask you about Jeff Fisher as director of operations. That's got to be the answer, Paul.
It's not going to happen, and it's not the answer. I mean, if you're looking for ties to Titans lore, I would suspect, but this is just an inkling, that Amy Adams Strunk will put on the list to be looked at as the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans, Jim Schwartz and Arthur Smith.
Okay.
No, I don't
neither,
know.
Those are not unreasonable. No.
No. I think, you know, her father loved ties to, you know, Mike Reinfeldt got the GM job because he was a former Titan. Mike Munchak got the head coaching job because he was a loyal, longtime Oiler Titan. I don't know that, you know, and those two guys had different degrees of success as head coaches, but I think they're going to want to hire a guy with head coaching experience, and I think they'll probably get looks based on their relationship with the team. I'm not saying they get hired, and I'm not saying it's written in stone, but that would be my suspicion.
Oh, awesome. Draft talk, next coach talk. Let's go.
So what's going to happen with Jeffrey Simmons? We'll get into some trade talk coming up next. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us here on the program as well. PK, I think you'd agree, Jeffrey Simmons has been – one of very few bright spots for the Tennessee Titans so far this year. He's been very good.
He's been terrific, and he's kind of changed his outward attitude in a lot of ways as well. He still says, you know, when they give up a lot of run yardage, he'll point to like, well, you know, there were three big plays in there. They kind of don't count.
There were some other plays where they didn't get a lot of yards.
Yeah.
Did you see those plays, Paul?
Yeah.
But
I think his attitude – you know, towards the press has been different in the way he's represented the team, and I he's played great. He's looking for new guaranteed money, and I think all of that, you know, whatever his motivation is, it doesn't really matter when he's producing results, right?
Sure.
Everybody's playing for their next contract. And Jeff is doing a hell of a job playing for his next contract. I don't know. You know, everybody's always convinced, well, a guy definitely wants out of here. He definitely wants to go play for a ring. I mean, certainly guys want to win. But I don't know. There are some guys who are married to their organization and who would really like to help turn around the team that they're on. So I don't know where Jeff sits on that. I don't think anybody, you know, like us knows. I think probably there's a part of him that wonders about what things are like elsewhere, but there's probably a part of him that thinks, I would really like to be in that new stadium on a team that wins.
Well, yeah, there's probably a lot of them that would like to be on a team that
wins. Either circumstance, I would like to have another huge guaranteed contract.
Yeah, seems to me, yeah, sure. But seems to me that when you've gone through what they've gone through, and especially if you're him and you've seen where it was and what it is, that you might be sick of this place.
Yeah, but right. Also you've won here, and
right,
you're losing badly here.
And there's
how great
people
would it be to be on the other side winning again? Like if you were a part of the resurrection story, which I'm sure he's confident he could be if he believes in Brinker. It's not about the coaching at this point.
So
right?
Brinker is who you have to believe in? That's who?
I would think. I mean, Brinker's draft. Femi does not look good. We don't know about Winston. But
so who, Brinker or Bergonzi?
Brinker has personnel power.
He tells us that Bergonzi makes the player decisions.
I don't recall that. Brinker has the final say, but Bergonzi is contractually. It's in the thing. There's like one guy who has to have the personnel clause in his contract, and he's the guy that has the personnel clause in his contract.
I mean, am I wrong, Robbie? Like Brinker.
Well, this is exactly the point, though.
Well,
this
yes
is why this whole thing is so stupid.
Yes, but Brinker did. He absolutely said that Mike is picking the players, right?
And
am I wrong?
He did. It's a draft. Yeah.
That's
what I've said all along. Bergonzi.
You just said Brinker.
I did. I never said Brinker.
Said Brinker's got final say. Two different things.
I said Bergonzi. You misheard me.
Robbie!
Did I say Brinker?
You said Brinker.
If I said Brinker, I
misspoke. Like 10 times in a row! Good God! I'm not losing my mind, right?
If I said Brinker, I misspoke.
Berserker, that's all I heard.
God.
Borgonzi's the one he needs to have faith in.
There we go.
Borgonzi's the one he
crap,
needs to have faith in.
Holy crap, dude! Like, we talked about it for two straight minutes. You kept saying Brinker!
Long fuse.
Oh.
Full on display again. That's all right. Joe didn't think LeJarius Sneed was talking trash last week, so I'm never going to let that go.
I still don't think he knows who he
is. The whole thing about Simmons to me is, what do you get back for him?
Yes.
I think it needs to be two picks. I do not think you can get a first for him. Do you get a second and a fifth, a second and a sixth? Does that second pick conceivably escalate based on his performance. If you can get that, I would think very seriously about it.
Kyle in Shelbyville says, we need to keep Big Jeff. He's the leader and the heartbeat of this team. Let's get more picks by trading the number one pick in the draft when we go 0-17.
I would like
What will Jeffrey Simmons be at age 32?
I would like the heartbeat of this team to be at one of the premier positions on the team. First off, yep. The heartbeat needs to be Cam Ward. Secondary heartbeat, I would like to be a receiver, an edge rusher, a corner.
Yeah.
Defensive tackle, very important. Not as important as those positions I listed. The Titans need to load up and get star talent, Simmons-level star talent, but move it off a defensive tackle. I understand defensive tackle is very important, but if you're building a team and everybody says you start in the trenches, but you can find trench guys later. You cannot find premier game-changing, not Io Manor receivers, game-changing, C.D. Lamb, Justin Jefferson, these kind of guys. You don't find them outside of the high first round. You don't find premier
corners. Except for A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
All right, they're a handful, but you get what I'm saying.
But you, so you do.
The hit rate. Yeah.
So you're wrong. Okay.
I'm spending all my top resources and all my top dollars on wide receivers, cornerbacks, edge rushers.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean,
Joe's going to count on the you've already spent them on offensive line.
Yeah, but you're going to need a left tackle.
Well, Moore is the left tackle next year. It's at least 2 years.
Will Moore be the left tackle when they open the new stadium?
No. No, Moore will be a two-year guy. So left tackle, too. So there's four positions.
Sounds good.
Four positions, though, that go ahead of defensive tackle for me.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with all that. Are you all right over there?
Left tackle, Joe, is almost like it's an unspoken. It's an unspoken.
I'm sorry. We're talking about the heartbeat, but Brian asks, who is the colon of this team?
We ask. We colon.
Oh, boy.
We small intestine. Oh. We large intestine. We have a weekly shirt. Titans should run with that. So people think the We Ass shirt that was kind of floating around as a joke would sell. I don't think it would sell. Like, are people going to wear a We Ass shirt?
Oh, I think they would.
I think they will.
I think they'll do it.
To a certain young demographic? I mean, you're not wearing it if you have young kids.
Like, if you had a choice between wearing, you know, like doing the old school paper bag thing or a We Ass shirt, I'm going We Ass.
Yeah, it's a game day. Once.
Hey, Amy, how's it going down there?
How many home games have they played? Two?
Yeah.
So you have it for six games? You're buying a wee ass shirt for six games?
Oh, I think it's well
worth
it.
And then we're getting the cold weather.
Yeah, you can wear it to a lot of different. I mean, conceivably, they could be for a long time. Like, this could be a long lasting shirt.
I mean, I'll produce these shirts if a poll says people would wear them.
I mean, people are already churning them out, man. We keep getting sent links. People have jumped on this.
Yeah, it may be an oversaturated market at this point.
But we still get the low T Titans.
We do get
the
low T Titans.
I mean, that thing lasted 5 minutes.
I know.
Cam screwed
it. Cam destroyed
it. Cam screwed it.
The last QB selling mayo cologne, and this guy's got wee ass absolutely selling like hotcakes.
You want me to tell Cam? Cam talks today. I go, hey. Yeah, some friends of mine had low T Titans T-shirts, and then you said we asked. The whole thing got it's been turned
ruined.
On its head.
Please ask.
You're
that.
Ruining businesses, Cam.
Ruin it at that point.
Livelihoods.
So, okay, I'm with you. If the Titans get offered second-round pick plus another pick, definitely something I would consider. Let me ask you to you this way. If you're the Titans, are you actively shopping Jeffrey Simmons
as we get closer? Not yet. I mean, I don't think people – I think you guys would agree with me on this. I don't think people really know who they are and what they need yet. They don't know, like, hey, you know, we need this ingredient to make our playoff push. And the other thing is you're paying X games worth of the contract, which is big.
Yeah.
And so financially – You want to wait. The trade deadline isn't until
November 4th. Yeah.
We're just – so it's a month away. I think 2 weeks, you get a little bit better feel. There's two less weeks of pay. So I think we're early.
But, I mean, there are some teams – I mean, some people have mentioned Buffalo, but I mean, like, I think Baltimore would be a team that. How much you want to help Baltimore? I don't know, but a team that, like, they're so banged up, I could see him being a big help to Baltimore.
It'd be completely fitting for the Titans to trade their best player to Baltimore. I mean, that's the pipeline.
Yeah, that's sort of the history. They're big on honoring history.
If you've got Henry and Simmons in Baltimore, I mean, Titans fans would be. You know, I would start the whole thing again about you can't root for Baltimore, and people would be like, you can't tell me who to root for. I root for guys, not for teams. He's on my fantasy defense.
IDP. Colon.
Yeah. We colon.
If we ask now, and Simmons is off the team, I don't know where you go from there. We the thing that come out of that.
It's like, wow, Titans don't score any points, and they just gave up 60. It's unbelievable.
No one runs on this team.
And one more segment with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Oh. Final segment of the day, Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com is with us here on the program. A couple thoughts to get to here. One YouTube commenter was talking about Callahan, taking it back to him when it comes to development of quarterbacks. It says the QB guru has had 21 games and both quarterbacks have looked worse under him. Now, I don't know where we're basing Ward looking worse off. I mean, he's a rookie, so it's the first four games.
Right.
But he's not look good. Like he's not making the progress through four games than I think a lot of Titans fans were hoping for. We know about Levis last year.
Levis was better as a rookie.
He was.
I mean, he was.
He was. Now, again, I think people are taking the Levis conversation a little too far over the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
But, like, going back to what we talked about earlier with Callahan, like, looking for reasons of, okay, what makes sense? Like, why are you keeping him moving forward here? It would be nice to see his specialty with the quarterback, what it's supposed to be, manifest itself at some point here. And it just has not done that through 21 games to this point.
No. And it's completely fair to just wonder if we're seeing what Cam Ward is or if the coaching and the system and the scheme are putting us in a place where we can't know.
Well, don't forget the talent. The lack of talent on
the
field, right?
Well, talent around him. But I will say, in time, good quarterbacks work around bad stuff. There are plenty of quarterbacks who have overcome bad protection and elevated bad receivers.
Maybe not
this early, but, I mean, he's got better receivers than Levis did. And he's got better protection, frankly, than Levis did, though it's not showing up the way you want it to be. They got to get Latham healthy and out there.
Is that possible this week?
I'm not sure. I think I'd give it a 60% chance. Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Somewhat optimistic.
You got to get him out there. I mean, they're in a revolving door at right tackle right now, and it's just bad option after bad option after bad option.
And they actually survived it reasonably well in this last game. It was one of their better – they schemed around their deficiencies and survived. I mean, that's the thing about this loss that's so bad. They got two sacks, which is their most. They allowed two sacks, which was their least. And the penalties were not that bad. If I told you, hey, they're going to address these three major issues, how's it going to go? Would you say the worst game of the season?
No, yeah.
Well, also, they didn't have a head coach situation that was embarrassing.
Right.
And
yeah. So
requiring
four.
Explanation.
The four major issues are addressed, Joe. How are they going to do against winless Houston?
A big goose egg.
Oh. Then you got old Joey Sly out there. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's always something. I mean, there's a hole. You plug this hole, and here's the other one.
Also, get into the red zone.
Like, they make it yeah. like if it was 6-6 going into the fourth, it would have been an entirely different game. Would it have been an entirely different game?
No.
I mean, it looked to me like they had very little left in the fourth quarter on defense.
Yeah. I mean, just Stroud has regressed, clearly. But, you know, that game, it seemed like it was a matter of time.
So, with Cam Ward, right now at this moment, would you, how would you characterize just him? Because it's, I mean, it's hard to do that because of all the other things, but what you see from him based on your expectations going into the season, better, worse, same?
I think worse. I don't know. Maybe people think that's too harsh. I do like the way he talks and the way he assesses things and his self-awareness, right?
Yep.
I don't think he's fooling himself into thinking things are better than they are. And I think that's an important quality to the whole thing. But, you know, I'm going to ask him today, like, how does the footwork get so bad in this game and why? And how do you fix that in a week and assure yourself that you do what you did against the Colts and not what you did against the Texans? And why is that such a fluid thing? I don't understand it. And he'll probably give me a very good answer, which is part of the job. Not the answer part, but that he has an answer.
Yeah, the identification of the problem. That's a big part of it.
It's important.
It's important. You put together an exercise at paulkuharski.com comparing the Wisenhunt and the Brian Callahan-led Titans and putting a team together from those two, which I know Titans fans are like, yeah,
I have made I have made
Chance Warmack, come on down.
I did make an adjustment, two adjustments. I pulled Warmack for Raidens.
What a battle that is.
Yeah, yeah, and I pulled Derek Morgan for Harold Landry.
Okay.
So two things in the Callahan regime favor. Still, Wisenhunt, and I will admit those suggestions came from Stillman, who read the piece and sent me a text last night. And
Look at you.
He was right in both circumstances.
Listen to Stilly. Look at you.
The Wisenhunt team had more to work with. There are more selections from Wisenhunt's team. So that's a real indictment of the general managers who set up this roster, as opposed to everyone's favorite general managers, Mike Reinfeldt, who had players on that team, and Rustin Webster, who drafted, you know, Bishop Sankey.
Yeah.
But there is more on that team than there was on this team. If you look at this team, it's hard to imagine a team of combined players from 2014, 2015, 2024, 2025, being any good. I mean, that team is probably a fourth place team today in the AFC South. But it would win a game or two.
It's bad. Good grief.
Yeah, I did not name a right tackle. That's how bad the right tackle situation is. Jeremiah Patassi is not making a team.
Blake. Yeah, just go ahead with that one. Put another receiver in there.
Yeah. Now, the tight ends on this team are spectacular. Delanie Walker and Craig Stevens.
Yeah.
I mean, nice. You put those guys on this team, you got some difference makers.
Texter here, Rick, says, you just said plenty of QBs overcome bad protection and elevate bad receivers. Who are you thinking of? I mean, I think of, like, Burrow with protection, Mahomes receivers, but, yeah, I don't think there's a lot. There's not a long list.
Well, I mean – I don't want to say Tom Brady because Tom Brady's an all-time great, but Tom Brady played the vast majority of his career elevating average receivers.
Yeah, but he still had, like, guys who could play. Like, Troy Brown and David Patton could play.
Peyton Manning,
right? Like,
played a good share of his career with bad offensive line.
Peyton Manning?
You know, he had a couple. Terry.
Mr. Saturday. Don't
Tariq
him.
Glenn
yeah.
was a good offensive lineman, but they didn't invest a ton of resources because they counted on him to move out of situations and to get rid of the ball fast. So those are two extreme examples because they're exceptionally good quarterbacks. But lots of quarterbacks, and I'm sorry I'm not coming off the top of my head, have elevated receivers, and that's something Titans quarterbacks have not done. Ryan Tannehill didn't do it, for example, which kept Ryan Tannehill from climbing to the next step.
It made Corey Davis look all right, but yeah, we'll see. We don't have time to debate that right now.
PK, thank you for being with us.
Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks and look out for cops.
Next man up, Jake Lyman, coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.